Hi, and welcome to Business Spotlight Series. I'm Martin Bailey, and joining us today is Helen Davis, founder and director of Think, Believe, Perform Limited. Welcome, and thank you for taking the time out to join us. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I had a cold water swim this morning, which is always the best start to my day. I'm doing good and looking forward to our conversation today.
Me too. And by the way, you're a lot braver than I am. A cold water swim, won't you? Okay. But then again, the temperatures are still probably not too bad for that, I'd have thought.
It's still a bit chilly. I'm not staying in that long at the moment, but it's great. I love it.
I'm sure, and I'm sure there's massive amounts of benefits from it as well. So why don't we start this whole thing off by you telling us a bit about you and who you are and what you do?
So my name is Helen Davis, and I run a, as you said, a sports psychology consultancy called Think, Believe, Perform. And I've been doing that for about the last 10 years or so. And prior to that, I was a primary school teacher for 25 years in education. So I now work for myself. I run my own business, and I work with athletes, coaches, people in business, teams, coaches, individuals on their performance and their well-being.
Wow. Okay. So from primary school teacher to sports psychologist, that's a swing. So where did that decision come from?
Well, it was interesting. I've been in teaching for 25 years. I always had a worry that I would become a moany old teacher. And I felt like I was slightly becoming that. I felt like I'd done it for a long time. I was ready for a new challenge. Although I'd enjoyed it, I felt I wanted something new. And I'd done a psychology degree back in the day, which is quite a long time ago. Yeah. In those days, sports psychology didn't really exist. And I did a bit of Googling one day and discovered that you could do a master's in sport and exercise psychology. I've been a swimmer for pretty much all my life, competed. I was training with the Cambridge Triathlon Club, and there were a couple of triathletes there who were kind of at world-class level. And they really encouraged me to pursue looking into psychology and sport. And that's how I found the master's degree. And then in my early 40s, I took the plunge and decided to go back to education.
Wow. And that's a big step. That's a big step to take. I mean, 25 years, that comfort, that security, and then stepping outside going, okay, I'm going to move myself into a world where I don't have that comfort. I don't have any security. How was that for you?
You know, I look back now and I think, I don't know quite how I did it really. I had three children kind of going through, GCSEs and things at the time. I think it was because I'd always had that niggle, and it was the niggle that drove me to say, well, I could make a change here and I could do something. And you're right, a 25-year career in education had given me some financial stability, obviously, which was helpful. I had a very supportive husband, which was helpful making that transition. But I was also able to do part-time teaching and part-time sports psychology for a while, so that I sort of felt I was dipping my toe into the sports psychology world while still having the kind of the comfort of teaching. But after not very long, it got to the point where teaching was very inflexible in terms of my timetable, and I was getting asked to do more and more work with sports psychology. So I took the plunge and decided to completely finish teaching and go full time as a sports psychologist.
Well, fantastic. I mean, that's a brave move, but clearly it's paid dividends because you're thriving business and doing very well. So congratulations, well done. I don't know how long your business has been running now, but probably 10 plus years?
No, it's a bit under that. No, because that was sort of when I first started doing my qualifications. So, yeah, it's about 6-7 years, I think, that I've been sort of working for myself.
Okay. So if you were to rewind back the clock, back to the day that you started your business, is there anything you would do differently now that you've got all this knowledge and learning under your belt?
I mean, I knew nothing, Martin. I mean, I really didn't know anything. I'm definitely one of these people that I'm not a big planner. I like to kind of go with my heart, and it was like, oh, this looks fun. Yeah, I'll do that, and then suddenly there I am, thinking, okay, what am I going to do? And what would I do differently? I probably think I would have spoken to more people than I did. Now, although that doesn't seem a very long time ago, sports psychology has really imploded, I think, in terms of the number of courses that are now available, the number of people that are going into it and training. But there weren't actually that many people. It was a very small world then. So I didn't know people in that field particularly. So I think now, I always enjoy talking to people and learning from people. And I think that would have been something that would have helped me a lot had I done more of that.
Okay, so you're essentially saying you actually understand that you needed to learn and get surround yourself with people, almost like a group of mentors, almost where you could glean that learning from.
Yes, and it's funny because I use mentors now. I use other sports psychologists when I'm doing, contracts or other pieces of work to bounce ideas from them. And it's something that I very much do now because I really recognize the benefit of doing it. But I think back then, I'd come out of teaching where I was surrounded by other teachers and the kind of, I had that naturally just by working in a school, whereas suddenly there I was on my own.
Yeah, absolutely. You're very exposed, aren't you? You feel exposed because you don't have that network around about you. But how did you, at what point did you realize that you needed to sort of generate this network around about you in terms of the journey that you were on?
I think very early on, actually, very
Okay.
early on. When I walked into the room to start my master's, so I was 42 or something, I remember walking in and everybody looked about 19. And I remember looking around and thinking, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? And then I sat down feeling like I hadn't thought this through. What am I doing? I had that whole kind of imposter
Imposter
syndrome. I'm
syndrome.
far too old,
Yeah.
And then somebody else walked in of similar age to me, and I saw her scan the room, and then she caught my eye, and we looked at each other, and the relief that came from her and myself was really, really huge.
No, absolutely. I mean, in terms of business and in terms of what you do, I mean, imposter syndrome must come out quite a lot, does it?
Oh, absolutely, it does, and that can be with really. High level athletes who are competing at the very, very top level. Every single human being experiences imposter syndrome at some point in their life, So yeah, that's one of a multitude of things that I would work on with people.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Because I think in business, I mean, certainly my experience in business, you come across business owners where they know where they want to get to, but they don't realize it's actually themselves that's holding them back from getting to that point, purely because of that imposter syndrome. It's just, if you think you can, and you think you can't, you're right. They're not thinking the right way about it. So yeah, I can see there's a lot of similarity between what you do in sport and some of the challenges around running businesses. So. You obviously business has grown over those last 6 7 years. It's successful. What do you attribute the growth to in your business?
I think, again, I think it's a number of things. I think geographically, I was very fortunate living where I do, which is Cambridge, in that there wasn't a qualified sports psychologist in the area when I first started out. So I came along and said, oh, here I am, I'm a sports psychologist. And people were like, oh, that sounds interesting, and I got invited to do a lot of talks with teams, various sports clubs, and that generated individual work and other sports teams business as well. So I think geographically I was fortunate. I like to think that the work that I do, that word of mouth is certainly in amongst athlete communities, is passed on. So I'm able to generate, business through just word of mouth. And also I think I've had a really good website. TOI Design did my website for me. I don't know what they did, but I feature quite highly on Google when you Google sports psychologists. And I feel very fortunate that they were able to do that for me. And so I get a lot of people inquiring through my website.
Okay, so a lot of your growth has come down to, I suppose, two strategies, I suppose. So whoever's doing your search engine optimization and your Google Ads, if you're doing Google Ads, is doing a very good job. Obviously, if you're getting traffic coming through to your website, which is great. But it sounds like the main source of your growth has been through referral marketing. So you call it word of mouth, I call it referral. So referral marketing.
Yeah,
So
okay.
people are referring you to other people because of the work you do. So how, I mean, what is it? I mean, in terms of, is that a strategy you went out with in terms of you were consciously going with that strategy, or is that just a strategy that kind of illuminated itself to you as you were going through your journey?
As I said to you, I'm not a huge planner. It just kind of evolved, really. I had no business experience whatsoever going into this, and I've very much, it's been a very steep learning curve, and I've literally learned day by day as I started it. There wasn't a strategy. My strategy was, and it's funny because I still actually think I have this strategy now. It's like I do the things that I enjoy, and I'll see where it takes me. I've always had that kind of attitude of, well, let's just see where it goes. When people say, what's your 5-year plan? It's like, I don't have one. I like to go with my heart, and things that appeal to me, then I'll say yes to. I've been fortunate that I've had lots of work coming my way, so I can say yes and no to things as I choose.
Do you see any risk around not planning, or any risk around not having a sort of long-term plan?
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. I mean, as I say, because of those things that I said about geography, I've had a continual sort of stream of work come my way, which means I haven't had to look at strategy particularly, because I seem to be fortunate to just get people, you know, contacting me on a regular basis. However, I do know that there are other sports psychologists who have had to look at strategy and be like, how am I going to use, you know, social media, for example, to try and help myself get clients. I've certainly spoken to lots of sports psychologists who've asked me about my strategy. And, you know, one of the things I do say is talk to as many people as possible and use your connections that you have, particularly for my role within sport. Again, because I had that network of being with Cambridge Triathlon Club, knowing some very high level athletes, you know, that word of mouth kind of just naturally occurred because they knew me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So when you say use your connections, do you use LinkedIn or just word of mouth connections, networking? I mean, how do you sort of, you know, keep those connections alive?
So I very much have sought professional development on a regular basis since I have done this. So gone to conferences, you know, and again, networked when I'm there by just speaking to people, hearing what people are doing. Twitter was an excellent starting point for me, particularly in the sports psychology world. Oh, it's not called Twitter anymore, is it? Sorry, X. But now that was a really good way of me keeping connected to evidence-based research that was going on in the area, people sharing articles, so that I felt like I was kept up to speed with what was currently you know, working for athletes from a research perspective, but also just hearing about the kind of roles that were out there, because particularly when I first started, there weren't that many number of roles, which is why I ended up working for myself, really, because it's not like you're just going to apply for a 9-to-5 job as a sports psychologist. It doesn't really work like that. So you either sort of go into academia or you work for yourself and you do contract work. So, again, I kind of learned that as I went along.
Interesting. So that's what the final question for me is, and you're going to love this question because you don't plan. Where do you see yourself in 5 years' time?
Oh, I just told you. I never. Where do I see myself in 5 years' time? Well, I say I don't have a plan for that. So I'm answering.
Answer from the
heart. Yeah, from the heart. Doing something that makes me happy. Doing something that makes me happy, where I feel like I'm challenged, where I'm working with good people who work together as a team. We enjoy each other's company and we try and do great things together.
I said that was my final question. I lied. This is my final question. Do you see yourself still doing it just by yourself in 5 years' time?
No, I would like to say no. Oh, I say I like to say no. I mean, yes, perhaps I'm still working as myself, I think, believe, perform, but I would be potentially working with a group of other sports psychologists within a team or with a group of athletes, coaches or whatever. So it's not just me sitting at my desk working in isolation with clients. I like to have my feet in different.
Yeah, but you don't see yourself as having another sports psychologist working for you in your business. You still
Do you know, I have sort of delved into that a bit, actually, where I have passed work on to other sports psychologists because I've had two work for just myself. Again, I think that's something where I would need to put more of a strategy in place than I had, because there are an awful lot of sports psychologists that I did pass on work to. And again, I think with that, you then get a whole load of other things that come your way, which I wasn't really prepared for because I hadn't necessarily planned for it. So I don't know, I think, is the answer. I'll see where it takes me.
Okay. Interesting. A great answer. Great answer. An interesting answer. Look, this has been absolutely fantastic, Helen. I mean, there's loads of stuff in here. There's loads of stuff for people to pick up from. And I think some of the key standouts for me is, when you start out in business, build yourself a network of mentors around about you that you can rely on their advice and their input and their challenge, I suppose, in a certain way, to get your thinking into the right place.
Absolutely, and support too, just support, somebody who's there to listen, to hear about, the problems that you might be having or wanting to talk through an issue that's come up. It's just another sounding board that helps you to think, yes, I'm making the right decision about how I'm going to proceed.
Yeah, and then the other two for me was making sure that you've got your website leveraged to drive leads to your business, and actually referral marketing strategies is a great strategy to have, but make sure you've got, I'm going to say, make sure you've got a plan for that strategy so that you can make it you can leverage it going forward. So great stuff in there. I just want to thank you very, very much for your time today, and I can't wait for our listeners to hear what you've had to say. Thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me. I hope they enjoy it.
Yep, my pleasure. My pleasure. See you,
Thank
I'll
you.
speak to you soon.